I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 40, just for short reading. Isaiah chapter 40, commencing at verse 18. Isaiah 40, verse number 18, let's follow the reading of God's word. And let's think of these words as we read them. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Just before we have a wee word of prayer, could I just mention, as I did last Sabbath evening, that the harvest collection came to £38,255. And we want to thank you for that giving to the harvest collection for the missionary works across the world, and pray that God will use it to the glory and the honor of his name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of bowing before thee in prayer as we open up thy word. Help us to understand it. Help us, our God, to be instructed by it. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank thee that thy word endureth forever. We thank thee that thy word is a precious and a pure and a holy word. We thank thee that thy word, Lord, its power is so powerful today. It's quick, it's sharp, sharper even than a two-edged sword, piercing right in to our very being today. Lord, I pray that you'll touch our hearts even as we meditate upon thy word. For we pray in Jesus' precious name, for his glory. Amen. As we look at the book of Jeremiah, and I want you to turn there, in the book of Jeremiah this morning, we ask this question. How far can a nation that has been richly blessed, so richly blessed, how far can that nation go away from God? How far can a nation that has been so richly blessed go from God? And friend, whenever we think about this passage of God's word or this book in Jeremiah, and we think about the nation of Israel and Judah, then we also think of our nation. We think of the United Kingdom, a nation that has been richly blessed with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ preached. And you know, people have gone from this land of ours to the furthest ends of the earth to take that glorious gospel, to spread it. And through the preaching of the precious word of God, freedom has come to nations and to peoples. But the sad reality is this, that when we're honest before God, our nation has gone away from God too, far from God. And so we ask the question, how far? How far can a nation go from God? And friend, we're going to study in God's word today just exactly how that happened. In our study in the book of Jeremiah, we have seen clearly that Israel has grievously sinned against the Lord. They have forsaken Jehovah God, and they have followed false gods, the gods of the Gentiles. And therefore, let us witness today that this nation, remember who this nation is. It was a special people. It was a chosen people. The chosen people of God, unto whom that God had given the Ten Commandments. And remember, the first commandment is this: thou shalt have no other God before me. That's a very clear instruction and commandment from God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And yet the reality is, as we look at the book of Jeremiah, we find that the nation that receives such a command from God turns away from God and turns to idolatry, turns to idols, to worship idols. It's not that they don't acknowledge that there is a God, but they turn to false gods who are not gods at all. And they turn to idols, and thereby they bring the judgment of God upon them. Now, there are four simple things that I want us to notice today in God's precious word. First of all, the facts exposed concerning this idolatry. Secondly, the folly explained. Thirdly, the foulness expanded. And finally, the fate expressed. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Jeremiah and let's look at the facts. What are the facts? What happened in the nation here that brings the judgment of God upon them in such a powerful way? How do we know how idolatrous the people of Judah, the people of Israel, have become? We'll turn the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah and the verse number 16. This is what God says here, Jeremiah 1 verse 16. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burnt incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. There we see the idolatry. Turn to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, in the verse number 19, this is what God's word says again. And it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doest the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in the land that is not yours. In other words, their judgment came upon them because of their serving strange gods and having forsaken God. Then turn to chapter 9. In verse number 14, he expands upon it once again. And this is what it says in verse 14. But have walked after the imagination of their own heart and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Turn to chapter 13, in verse number 25. This is thy portion, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forsaken me and trusted in falsehood. Turn to chapter 18, in the verse number 15. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burnt incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. And so therefore what we're seeing here is the downward spiral here in the land of Judah and of Israel, in Israel's idolatry. Yes, when you go back to the verse number 14, it sums it up. It says, they have walked after the imagination of their hearts. They have walked after the imagination of their hearts. Do you remember when that was first mentioned in the Word of God? It's mentioned way back in the days of Noah, in the book of Genesis, and in the chapter number 6. As God looked upon the world at that time, and this is what it says in Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God judged the old world because these people that God loved, they had turned away. The Bible says they had forsaken him. They had forgotten him. And they had turned and they walked after the imagination of their own hearts. In other words, they were proud. They were respecting their own judgments and over their own ways instead of the judgment and the ways of the Lord. And that brought the judgment of God upon them. They walked after other gods. They served them, they worshipped them, they trusted them, they burnt incense unto them. And friend, that is the sad reality about the children of Israel and the sad reality of the people of Judah. They were prone to idolatry. In Jeremiah chapter 2, in the verse number 7, it says this, I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. And then in chapter 11 and in the verse number 10, they have turned their backs to the iniquities, or they have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. And friend, that was the sad reality of the sin of this people. That's how far a people can go from God. They turn away from the living God. Now, of course, their sin was denounced. It wasn't that they didn't know. It wasn't that they didn't know what they were doing. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 44, and in the verse number 21, it says there, the incense, that's Jeremiah chapter 44, verse number 3, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, yea, nor their fathers. Howbeit, God says, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate, says God. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other God. Wherefore, my fury and mine anger was poured forth. You see, it wasn't they didn't know. It wasn't they didn't know they were doing wrong, friend, that they were turning away from God. God had raised up, and God says, I have sent my prophets. They did know. And so therefore, what they were doing, it was outright rebellion. It was simply outright rebellion. And friend, we live in a land that the people of Ulster ought to know what God says. And yet we find it is, even for example, the Lord's Day, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And yet the reality is many who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have got into the system like Rome has had, and that is just Sunday morning, that somehow that's where it ends. My friend, that's not where it ends. And you stand before God, and God has given a commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. That's the whole of the day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And yet men and women today, whilst they know what God says, It's not that they don't know, but they're in living in open rebellion against the Lord. They're rebelling against the clear word of God. And God's judgment of his people was because of their idolatry. And they were warned about that. Because it says there in verse number 5 in chapter 44, they hearkened not nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto God. Wherefore God says, my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. And they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Go down to verse number 21 of that chapter. The incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings, your princes, the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind, so that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doing and because of the abominations that ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment and a curse, without an inhabitant as at this day. Don't be surprised what God is doing, friend. And I can tell you this, when we look at our beloved province, when we look at the United Kingdom, a land that has been so richly, a nation that has been so richly blessed, and yet a nation that is deliberately and defiantly turning its back on God. Don't be surprised when God steps in. Don't be surprised when God brings judgment upon the nation and upon the land. You'll notice that in chapter 16, the people ask for an explanation. Just go to chapter 16. And you know, the people, they were asking an explanation concerning, why was God doing this? Why is God doing this? If you look in chapter 16, verse number 10, and it shall come to pass, when they shall show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or why is our, or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Listen, they're so blind. They are so blind. They're walking in darkness here. They just do not see their sin. They say, we just don't get it. Why is God doing this to us? Why is God sending us this judgment? Look at verse 11. Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one, here it is again, after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Their judgment was coming because of sin. And the sad reality was this, friend. It wasn't only that somehow that this idolatry was touching a little part of the nation, but the sad reality was spread throughout it. This land that God had richly blessed, this land that God's hand was upon, it is now taken over by idolatry. How far can they go? So far. In chapter 2, in verse number 28, it says there, Jeremiah, but where are thy gods that thou hast made? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. And that's a statement that was repeated in chapter 11 of Jeremiah and the verse number 13. It says, for according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have ye set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. They had deliberately, defiantly turned their back against God. No doubt, friend, it only started little. But then the Word of God tells me in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And you see, it spreads. It spreads. And let me tell you, that's what happens in our lives. Even in our backsliding. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. It just happens little by little. Maybe it's just a little thing. Maybe we're missing out. Maybe just we miss out one meeting in the Lord's house. Yes, we used to attend every meeting there was. Well, we could say like the psalmist, I joyed when to my, whatever the meeting was, my, we were there. We had every one of the meetings. We're always there. And then just maybe we missed one. And then we maybe missed another. Maybe we came back and it was just intermittent. But then it was more often. And friend, that's how it happens. That's how subtle the devil is. And that's exactly how it happened in the land of Judah. Yes, there was a little leaven. There was a little backsliding. There was a little falling away. But that was the first steps. Until now, they're burning incense to the altars of Baal. They've turned their back. And God says, my charge is this. God says, ye have forsaken me. You've forsaken me. You've turned your back. That was the facts. But what about the folly? Friend, let me tell you here, the foolishness of it all. The foolishness of it all. As you read Jeremiah and as you read Isaiah, you'll see the vanity, you'll see the emptiness of those that Israel turned to. We read this morning in chapter 10, and I've just turned to that chapter that we read. There's just a number of verses to show the emptiness of those that they had turned to. It says in verse number 6, here we see the greatness of God. In other words, there's a contrast in this chapter. There's a contrast. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. Verse number 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. That's the greatness of God. He hath made, verse 12, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the worlds by his wisdom. He hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. And he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasure. There's the greatness of God, friend. But they have turned from him. They're not worshiping this God anymore. But who are they worshiping? Let's look at verse 3. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth out a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. Notice, they have to do this. They have to make this wooden image. They have got to fasten it with the nails and with hammers, that it moves not. Verse 5, they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born. In other words, they have to be carried, these idols and these images, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. That's the people they turn to. Verse number 8. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Verse 14, every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the works of error. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. In other words, they're doomed to failure. And yet, this is a folly, friend. The people have turned. They have turned from the living God. Thou, verse 10, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. He is the everlasting King. He's the one that by his word hath created the heavens and the earth, and established the worlds by his wisdom, and stretched out the heavens by his discretion. But they've turned from him. They're not worshiping him. They're worshiping idols. Once again, turn back to chapter 2. The folly of it all. Chapter 2, verse number 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Verse 27, saying to a stalk, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. You see, friend, notice what it says there. They turn their back on me, not their face. That is until trouble comes. And when trouble comes, then they'll turn to me and say, arise, O Lord, and save me. God says, what about your idols? What about those that you're worshiping? Yes, you say to a stock, thou art my father. You say to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. What about them? And is it not true today? Even the ungodly, they live in their sin. Their back is against God and not their face toward God in true repentance. And yet, friend, let me tell you, whenever they're in trouble, they will say, would you remember me in prayer? Would you pray to God? Or maybe they cry out, oh God, help me. And yet they've worshipped their silver and their gold. They've worshipped their self, their own ways. They've gone in their own ways. But they find out in the day of trouble how useless, how senseless, how impotent are the gods that now that they are worshipping. Jeremiah 14, verse 22. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. You see, there's no other God but Jehovah God. The foolishness, the folly of it all. And then in the day of trouble, they seek the face of God. But friend, it goes deeper. The foulness expanded. I want you to notice concerning idolatry, there's key words in the book of Jeremiah that's mentioned concerning the folly and the foulness or the filthiness of idolatry. Chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. Turn to chapter 7 and verse 30. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set up their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. Chapter 44 and verse number 4. Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Notice what God describes this idolatry. Abomination. Abomination. The idols were abominable in God's sight. That which is loathsome, that which is hateful, that which is sinful, that which is vile, that which is wicked. And friend, that's exactly where these people had gone. They had gone to abominable things, to vile things, to sinful things. Why? Because that was in their heart. They loved. It was like Lot's wife. Lot's wife looked back to Sodom. Why? Because she loved it. She loved it. She loved her sin. And that's why people are not saved today, because they love their sin. You know, God calls idols abominable things. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. In verse number 14. And the Levite shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the works of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people said, or answered and say, Amen. Turn to chapter 29 of Deuteronomy and verse number 17. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which are among them. Abominable thing, idols. You know, there are people today, friend, and they're kneeling down with sincerity before idols. And they're praying to idols. There are people, instead of praying to God, they're praying to what they call the saints, expecting them to somehow intercede before God's throne. They're those that earnestly and genuinely kneel down before a statue of Mary and they pray to her. And yet this is what God says. There is but one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's the only go-between. There is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the one who left heaven's glory and came to the cross of Calvary. And there he shed his precious blood to take away our sin. But thank God, we don't kneel before a crucifix today. Why? Because Christ is not on the cross. Thank God, Calvary's past. On the cross, Jesus Christ said, It's finished. The work's done. And this man, after he had made one sacrifice for sin forever, is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did he sit down, friend? Because the work is done. And there he's at the right hand of God. And what is he doing this morning? He ever liveth. Hallelujah. We serve a living Savior. Thou art the true God. Thou art the living God. That's what Jeremiah said. Thou art the living God. You're alive forevermore. Thank God Jesus lives today. We don't worship a dead Christ. We worship a living Savior. And he's alive, and he liveth to make intercession for us. You know what God says about these idols? God says they're abominable. They're loathsome. God says, I hate them. They are sinful or vile or wicked in my sight. And then there's another word he expresses their idolatry as. Turn to chapter 2. Abominable, that's one thing. But then in chapter 2, go down to verse number 20. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou hast said, I will not transgress, when upon every hill and on every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot. They went from one idol to another, friend. And the word God calls it is harlotry. Abominable harlotry. Then to chapter 3, time's away. But chapter 3, we have another word in verses number 6 to 8. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. And she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes were by backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Notice the words abominable. Notice the word harlotry. Notice the word adultery. Notice the word whoredom. God says, you've defiled. You've polluted. That's the foulness of idolatry. Last thought is the fate. Chapter 1, verse 16. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all these wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burnt incense unto other gods. Chapter 11, in verse number 11. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. Though they cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. Chapter 12, verse number 12. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but they shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues, because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Chapter 19, with this I close. in verse 13. The houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burnt incense unto all the hosts of heaven. They have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon this city and upon this, her towns all the evil that I pronounced against them, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my word." God said, "I'll judge them." Judgment. That was the fate because of their sin. Friends, before God today, for those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, remember this, the wages of sin is death. There's a price to be paid, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the warnings of thy precious word. Thy word reminds us sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And, O God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt turn our hearts this day from sin and turn to thee. And, O Lord, that we might know the comfort and the peace and the knowledge of sins forgiven. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us today. Take of thy word, and if there's someone this morning, and they can say with a hymn writer, "I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home." We thank you, God, they'll find that thou art a God ready to pardon, a God ready to forgive. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.